Hello there, this is episode 59 of the Van Hemlock Podcast, sponsored by Elsith and Paradiso and part of the Virgin Worlds Collective. Behave this week.
I'm going to behave.
Yes, with all sorts of letters and complaints.
I would like it to be known that I didn't mean companies like SOE, I meant the attitude of the hardware business.
Well, not so much that, I think it's more just the unexpected bout of Tourette's halfway through last show, for which we can only apologise.
I'm not apologising for nothing.
Yes, well, just watch it.
I mean everything I said.
On with the show.
Right, it's July.
It is. A sweltering, damnable heat outside there.
What was meant to happen on July the 1st?
This was Shadowbane shutting down, was
yes.
it? Yes. Yeah.
Have you heard if it has or not?
I've not heard anything at all by anyone, really, apart from, I think, possibly Heartless Gamer asking this very same question.
Which happens to be the blog post that I have in my hand.
Well stolen.
And he had an anonymous comment saying, yes, it had gone. So that has to be, I think, the quietest, least fuss of any shutting down of a game
ever. Tenuous shutting down ever, yeah. So, gone then. Right,
Shadowbane.
Well, yeah. It did all right for a while, but perhaps not that palatable in its current form. Still,
yeah.
We don't know. Did we know for sure if Area Games had just given up on it in the end? I think there was talks of
talks, but it doesn't look like they have.
We've not heard anything either way.
No.
So yeah, literally, not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Not even a whimper.
Yeah.
A death completely unmarked,
except by us. Farewell, Shadowbane.
You will be missed by your players. Next, Do you see that little fuss about China allegedly banning gold farming?
Oh gosh, yes, that all went a bit berserk and a bit ballistic, especially on the sort of more esoteric and academic type sites there, Terra Nova and co.
Yeah, well, the first round of reporting was all wrong again.
Oh, was it people getting the wrong end of the stick?
Yes, they're not banning gold farming.
Right, what exactly is the fuss then?
In-game monies will only be allowed to trade in virtual goods and services provided by its issuer, not real goods and services.
Right.
It's basically gambling.
Oh, this is some sort of anti-gambling measure, is it?
Yeah, and to stop miners getting in it, so...
Hmm. So presumably what, the thing they're actually banning is buying real life goods?
No, they're not actually banning,
they're
ruling against it.
But you're not allowed to buy real world goods and services with made up game money, isn't it? So, well, that sort of says gold selling, doesn't it?
It's basically, well, yes, but it's not a ban.
You're not allowed to buy real money with fake money, so
it's stuff like QQ coins.
Basically, that did make me giggle, actually.
Yeah.
QQ more.
Yeah, you can only use them to pay for virtual stuff, and you can't buy real things with them now.
Like Chinese money.
Yeah.
Is it yen? No, that's Japanese.
And you can't gamble with them.
Hmm. At any rate, not something that will affect most of us, I imagine. But possibly precedental? Are we going to see the US trying for similar measures?
No,
okay.
I don't care. In fact, it's vitally needed for various things.
Hmm.
Next.
Yeah.
They're having another stab at making an Eve novel.
Oh, another Eve novel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I was just leafing through the big doorstep previously to us starting the show here.
Yeah.
The Empyrean Age by Tony Gonzalez. Huge, huge thing.
One day I'll finish it.
You haven't finished it yet, have you?
God, it's so predictable. Step by step by step.
Welcome to Literary Corner.
Badly written.
Oh, dear,
nonsense.
You can start swearing again.
If Tony Gonzalez is listening to this show, I'd like to apologise.
Yeah, you better had, because I remember hearing an interview with him on Warp Drive Active a long time ago, and he sounds very much like a mobster, so, you know.
Yeah.
Be careful what you say here.
No, it's not a deep book, let's put it that way. No, my real problem with the book is the fact that it's just big event after big event after big event after big event. There's very little characterisation.
Which is very dissimilar to Eve, which is mostly about stirring an asteroid.
And it gives an impression of playing Eve that it's slightly more exciting than
Well, is that not perhaps slightly the purpose of such tie-in materials? I'm actually reading through two City of Heroes novels at the moment. I read The Web of Arachnos, which, again, wasn't that great. And I'm reading The Freedom Phalanx at the moment, which is more centred on... One's a sort of origins thing, and this one's more of a contemporary thing. And again, I mean, the second one is actually a lot better than the first, but yeah, you sort of read through and you think, well, this has nothing really to do with the game it's promoting, is it?
Yeah. Well, at least the Empyrean Age was. It's tied into all the main events which happened at the time of the expansion.
Okay.
So, you know, the station being destroyed by the mothership and stuff. All that happens in it. So
fair enough.
It adds a lot of backstory. It's just
so perhaps a bit more in-depth description of some of the little storyettes they tend to put
I would have liked for it to have been a slower book that had a bit more characterisation and didn't try and cram so much in there. It should possibly have been three books.
Perhaps longer build-up, more developed characters, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's my real problem.
Sort of thinking Ian M. Banks sort of thing, really.
Yeah.
So, and then this isn't it, you're thinking.
CCP, that. Please get Ian M. Banks to write your next book. It will be brilliant.
It would be awesome, yeah.
All right, next up, Microsoft. Microsoft Research have just released Kodu, which is an Xbox Live community game which enables you to make new games.
A game that makes you build, let you build, what, so we're talking Little Big Planet here?
A lot simpler and a lot cheaper.
Okay.
It's £3.40. And it enables you to very simply make games.
Oh, okay. This is perhaps a more accessible and easier to use version of their XNA.
Yes, it's written on top of XNA, and it gives you... It's very much like, and this isn't going to work as an example for anybody except a very couple of you, it's very much like the simplified UI for making robotic Lego applications.
That's quite obscure, yes. But, okay, so rather than drop people in at the deep end with the full-blown, over-the-top development suite that most people are using to make the existing community games, they put together this... Well, I think perhaps it would be unfair to call it noddy, but, you know, an easier, less complex...
A simplified building block mechanism, which is all done on the console using the controller.
Possibly a very good entry-level way into making games and stuff. Also, it's a useful sort of thing for anyone who hopes to become a game dev, that kind of path. Because they're always going to want to see
it'll
examples.
It'll be a good way to get your kids playing, writing games. It'll be a good way to just throw together a small casual game that you want to see if it would work.
And then ultimately, once you've exhausted the potential of this, you'll be in a good position to start using the real, the proper tools. Yeah,
so
that
sounds
good.
This is a good move.
And we approve.
Just like we approve of Little Big Planet's game creation stuff, we want more user content on the consoles.
Because
that'd be brilliant. Ah, yes. Spellborn, Chronicles of.
Oh, yeah, this all went a bit peculiar as well.
Apparently it's not been the success that everyone expected.
I'm not actually surprised, to be honest. I mean, I've heard various people say here and there...
Wouldn't it be the fact they forgot to advertise its launch?
Well, yeah, exactly. You just hear almost nothing about it. There may be the occasional screenshot here and there on Massively or wherever, but, you know, you just get the impression that it just came and went and no one noticed, really. And I suppose that's going now shaken down in financial terms to a bit of a problem.
Yeah, so they're going free to play now.
Right.
In Asia and over here as well, I assume. And what's happening is if you've got an account, you will keep paying until it goes free to play, then they will refund any outstanding months.
Fair enough.
So the game's not shutting down or anything, it's just completely changing its business model.
Right, and presumably there'll be item shop, in-game knickknacks,
microtransactions,
all that sort of business.
The usual stuff from a free-to-play game.
Shifting the emphasis perhaps from everyone paying the same amount to keep it funded to the very, very invested paying for most of it and casual people whatever.
This move to free-to-play, it's having to be done by more and more companies because there just aren't that number of people who want to pay a subscription per month.
Yeah.
Limited customer base and too many games.
I wonder if subscriptions is a bit of a relic these days.
I think we'll cover that later.
Yeah, also I hope Chronicles of Spellborn's on our big list for the cheap seats thing.
Oh, yes, it is.
I think, I hope one of us gets to play it soon.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be able to see what the hell it's even about.
It's about running around grinding.
Mm-hmm. Aren't they all?
Yeah.
Next.
It's a complete guess. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Big, big, big scandal in... Oh, actually... Third week in a row, WoW news.
Oh, gosh.
Big scandal in WoW.
Yeah.
They're allowing you to change side.
Yeah. Yeah, this was, I think, possibly... I mean, they got the big makeover thing going on anyway, haven't they? Allowing you to change sort of hairstyles and faces and all this sort of business. But so they'd previously put a clamp on changing, I think... You could even change gender and name, character name, but you couldn't change class or faction. And now this
What this is allowing you to do is change class and faction, allegedly, sort of-ish. What it basically does is you move an existing character to a roughly equivalent character on the opposing faction.
Oh, I see. So you wouldn't actually have Horde gnomes or Alliance skeletons or whatever.
No, but it enables you to play with your friends, so we are all in favour.
Well, are we? I mean, it does seem a little bit like a money-grabbing exercise, but, yeah.
This is Blizzard.
I suppose, yeah, they're going to charge you for pretty much anything, but I suppose ultimate inflexibility, though, yeah, you can now be anything and anyone you want to be.
It's,
transfer
it's sort
between
of a,
servers.
It's sort of a
side.
One-off thing, but... Yeah, if you find you've got loads of friends on the other side, you can now join them.
It'd be interesting to see what this does to the quite well-documented and widely known Horde and Alliance demographic breakdown there. I mean, usually it's something like 1 to 3 or 1 to 2.5, something like that.
Yeah.
With Horde being generally much less numerous than the Alliance. Is everyone going to suddenly all change and everyone will swap just to see what the other side's like and suddenly the imbalance will be the other way, or what?
No, what's going to happen is everyone's going to be Alliance.
Yeah, game over. The Alliance win. There's no one left.
Okay, moving from one wildly popular game to one allegedly wildly popular game.
Uh-huh.
Second Life.
Oh, yeah.
Are you aware of what Gossip Girls is?
Some TV show, is it?
Yes. Uh-huh. Congratulations, you now know as much about it as
I do. Yeah, my knowledge ends there, I'm afraid.
Oh, except for the fact it's done by Warner Brothers. And they got, apparently, a quite good place in Second Life.
Oh, right.
Surrounded.
All the multimedia tie-in nonsense.
On Gossip Girls.
Okay.
Yeah. But apparently the moderation's been a little bit harsh.
I did see a bit of this, yeah. It seemed quite draconian.
Apparently they use the Metaverse Mod Squad, which sounds really scary.
Pseudo-fascist paramilitary organisation there, I think, yeah.
And they
were, have armbands.
And they were moderating non-English conversations.
Yes.
By warning you to switch to English and then banning you.
You've got to speak English or they're going to ban you because they can't tell what you're saying otherwise. And basically all conversations must be meet a certain level of approval, otherwise you get banned as well. Basically, they're doing their damnedest to prevent their little bit of Second Life becoming much like most of the rest of Second Life and damaging their PR as a result.
This is a big problem, really, because when you
think
about
it, if you're not English.
Well, no, if, from the moderation point of view, you want to make sure people aren't just cybering it up.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody comes along and starts talking in Klingon.
Well, quite. You got.
How do you moderate that?
You
or
don't. You just ban them.
Nobody
instantly knows
how to use that.
You say English or GTFO, and then you ban them if they continue.
Then you get bad news stories about you.
And you get ridiculed on podcasts like now. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, Big Brother is watching you.
I think it's terrible, but I can't think of anything else they could have done. Except maybe not... No, nothing would work.
Well, it's a difficult thing in this day and age, as most Americans are quite clued up on English swear words. You know, you have a lot of trouble getting away with the good old classics these days, which I'm not going to degenerate into and start swearing on this show.
You're in your moral high ground.
I know, absolutely. But, yeah, so getting away with the classic English swear words, and you listening will know what I mean. It's not so easy on American servers anymore. But yeah, entirely foreign languages, well, that's where you go to find your swearing. But no, seems like that's not the case either.
Then again, when it comes down to swearing, if TV shows can make brand new swear words that everyone's happy with, everyone knows what it means.
Yeah.
You say smeg or frack or something, and people use them, and well, they're not swear words.
Well, you just suddenly break into Chinese, like on Firefly.
Yeah.
I often wonder what those actually are.
Apparently they were real, and they managed to get it past the censor.
Fair enough.
Okay, next up. New game going free to play.
Hooray! Possibly. I don't know.
Lord of the Rings is going free to play.
No, it's not. You're making something up.
Lord of the Rings is going free to play.
Explain.
In China.
In China?
Later this year.
Right.
They'll launch it in China and it'll be free to play out there.
Well, that's going to be weird. I wonder even how the item shops will work in there.
I don't know, actually. Yeah. It'll be very interesting to see.
Yes. I wonder if that'll be a precursor to our side of it all getting a bit of a revamp, perhaps.
Yeah. There's going to be significant changes to the game. Mm-hmm. Enhanced PvP.
Yeah. Enhanced PvP?
Yeah.
Because a game that has no PvP just will not work in China.
I think that you need more PvP in China, possibly.
I've not even tried the monster play in any real serious capacity yet, but I must get around to doing that. But yeah, I mean, Lord of the Rings, not really a game about good versus evil, because they don't let you be evil. Everyone is good.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of good in there.
Mm.
Yeah, so yeah, interesting to see what happens, how you can take a very well-established AAA, one of the biggest fantasy Western games, and turn it into a free-to-play Eastern game.
With PvP-centric gameplay.
Yeah.
It's going to be a ride, yeah.
It'll be fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next, we've got some more depressing sales numbers.
Oh, go for it. We like the numbers.
Yeah. Everyone's saying that, you know, the entertainment industry is recession-proof.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started seeing games companies get completely decimated.
Mm. But we do see games companies get decimated in good times as well, yeah, here and there. So,
but we got some numbers here for DVDs.
Mm.
Them being so bigger than game sales at the moment still.
So we're talking DVD movies, TV series, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the UK, they're down nearly 10% by volume.
Right. And any stated reasons for that? Just simply people not buying, or
people aren't buying.
People are going with online, or the evil, wicked file sharing. Maybe, I don't know.
No, just people are not buying.
Yeah.
In the first 6 months of 2009, 99.6 million DVDs were sold.
Yeah.
And 3.1 million
mm-hmm.
Blu-ray,
right?
Discs. Tiny market.
Mm.
But yeah, DVDs are seeing a massive problem in dropping, and
well,
Blu-ray is not really picking up the slack.
Well, when times are hard, you cut down on the luxuries, you cut down on the frivolous extra spends that perhaps you could live without, and I'm sure most DVD movies are in that category.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, we've seen Zavvi and Woolworths die.
Yeah.
That was 15% of the UK disc retail market go.
Good grief.
So, yeah. On the other hand, HMV
mm-hmm.
have announced that a quarter of their sales last year
yep.
were games.
So the games are becoming more important than films. Is
games are becoming as big, as important as
films. I knew it when I was a child and they ridiculed me. I knew one day.
Ladies and gentlemen,
yes.
Two arms. We can be the saviour of the retail industry. We can save your high street.
Yes, now they come crawling to us for our money. Yes, us uncool and unfashionable nerds. Well, I'll make them pay. I'll make them all pay.
Yeah, so, yay, buy games. Actually, I quite like HMV as a place to buy games. They tend to have a reasonable supply.
They get your professional endorsement, do they?
Yeah. Mm. An awful lot of...
I thought you just went Amazon for everything.
I don't buy...
Shops are obsolete.
Nobody ever has the game I want.
Well, exactly. So you go to the shop to browse, and then you go to the internet to find the thing you actually wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, so... Way! Next.
Moving on.
Microsoft are being sued.
Oh, gosh, what now?
Sony were also being sued, but mm-hmm. Sony settled out of court. But there's a patent infringement against Microsoft for Xbox Live.
Really? Somebody else thought of Xbox Live before that?
Apparatus a method for electronically connecting remotely located video games.
Well, that's Doom death matches and LAN networks and all sorts.
Yeah, it's an awful, awful...
Very tenuous. This is a shakedown attempt, isn't it?
Yeah, Sony gave in. Microsoft...
Really?
Yeah.
Do you?
Microsoft are fighting it.
Yeah.
But Microsoft are fighting it in a Microsoft way.
Oh.
And the judges have accused Microsoft lawyers of courtroom shenanigans.
Microsoft
intended
crash.
To delay proceedings.
Excellent.
Which, if you're Microsoft, you basically just turn around and say, we'll see who runs out of money first. Well,
exactly,
we?
Yeah. Keep it going forever. Well, this patent shakedown nonsense has to stop. There needs to be a better way. This whole NCSoft Worldscom thing still up in the air, and that's ridiculous as well.
Yeah, apparently Microsoft Council provided the plaintiff with 140,000 marketing documents without an index just before the June trial kicked off.
That might be construed as delaying tactics, perhaps.
And then they disputed a typographical error that read 2008 instead of 2009.
Well.
But, yeah, it's a stupid patent, and Microsoft may not be fighting it in a nice way, but at least they're fighting it. Cause
well, yeah, you can't just roll over and give people money to shut them up.
Yeah.
Because it just encourages them again.
We need to change this patent law.
Mm.
So maybe Microsoft...
I'm increasingly seeing stupid stuff thrown up in the news over this basic system.
Maybe Microsoft can be evil for good. Maybe we can use Microsoft.
Shall we pro Microsoft here then? Rah rah Microsoft.
No, we can use Microsoft's evil for good. It's like actually, there's no real example of ever using evil for good, is there?
Shall we move on?
Yeah. Okay. Staying with Microsoft and being evil.
Yeah.
Would you like to win a custom 360?
Yes.
Signed by Peter Molyneux?
Yes. Well, no, signed by Peter Molyneux or not, really. I don't care. But a custom 360 would be good.
Yes. And somebody
won. What do I need to do?
Well, you can't, really, because it's already been won.
But somebody, teasing me.
Somebody won this console.
Cool.
Yes. And they got it home, tried to plug it in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you've got to remember about the 360 is there have been two different models, really, effectively.
Mm.
One has an HDMI connector on the back and one doesn't.
Right.
Now, what this signed one was, was a new interior and an old exterior.
So the circuitry didn't connect to the plug on the back?
The plug on the back didn't make it all the way through the plastic hole. Because it had changed the location of where the connector would be.
So very much a one-off limited rare collector's edition.
Yeah, yeah, which is not unusable.
Not terribly useful if you want to actually play games on it. Right. Yeah. Well, well done there.
It's shockingly... Yeah.
I'd have thought of that. I'd have had a quick check.
Yeah, I would have tried to make sure it worked.
Make sure it works before you give it out.
Yeah, when you were signing it. Okay, moving on to Sony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got to keep the swearing under control this week.
Sony are talking bollocks again.
Oh, God, here we go.
They said that their plan was always to not have UMD drives on the PSP.
What's a UMD drive?
I haven't got one on my desk, have I?
That's right, you can describe it.
They are the thing on the PSP that goes rattly, rattly, rattly.
Ooh, what's that?
It's UMD.
It's like a mini CD, is it?
Yeah.
That's nifty, I like that. Dinky.
I think they didn't take...
A mini CD in a little plastic housing.
I really think they didn't take on, because shake it, it rattles.
Is it meant to rattle?
Yeah. And I think if they hadn't rattled, they would have been successful.
And that's the format for the PSP, then, instead of some solid-state
cartridge.
That's
the old format for the PSP.
Okay.
And they also released films on them, which makes me wonder why they were saying that getting rid of the UMD was always the future.
How much data storage is on one of these?
I don't know, actually. Probably 100, 200 meg, looking by the size.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't believe them.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't think UMD is a very good product anyway.
Fair enough.
I do think that digital downloads are the future.
Universal Media Disc.
Yeah.
Not so universal after all.
No, and I don't...
It's the only thing I've ever seen use one.
Yes, that's true. Okay, and finally, finally we got some numbers on console sales.
Oh, now, okay.
This is important because very soon... Allegedly, we're going to be getting our first batch of console MMO stuff.
Right.
Free Realms will be coming out, allegedly.
I don't believe you, of course. But
the agency is apparently...
Yeah, you keep telling yourself that.
The agency is apparently running on it.
I'll believe it when I see one.
They were demoing it.
Yeah.
And,
anyway.
DC as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we've basically got some numbers. Right. This is for the UK, this. There are now 24 million consoles of this generation sold in the UK.
Right.
Up 8.4 million in the last 12 months. That's a large number.
That's quite a big number.
Because there's only 13 million of us in the country.
No, there isn't.
That's not true.
It's closer to 60 million, I think.
But sometimes people don't live on their own, which would account to some double.
Oh, households, right, yeah.
Strange people. The biggest console is the Nintendo DS.
The DS?
Nintendo DS.
Is that a console, would you say?
Yes.
Well, it's a handheld, but I suppose technically, yeah.
9.1 million, up 2.7 million.
Even my mum's got one of those.
Yeah, I know. My mum's got one too.
Yeah.
Actually, that one's my mum's old one.
Right.
Because she lost it and then bought a new one and then gave it to me when she found it. I wouldn't have bought one otherwise.
Well, quite.
But, yeah, it was a good game.
I just never find myself on the move and yet still desperate to play a computer game, you know?
Yeah.
I can wait till I get to wherever I'm going.
What do you reckon the second most popular console is?
It'd be the PS2, I think. This is a trick question.
Not the generation.
Oh, I see. Oh, so that's not concluded. Is it the Wii?
Yes, this is true. 5.4 million units.
Ah.
Up 2.3 million on the last year.
We were playing one during the week.
We were.
At friend of the show Zozo's fantastic barbecue there. There was much rock banding going on.
Yes, much bad rock banding. I know. we're not very good.
It's the guitar. It's the middle button's got a raised thing, so you can find it without looking, and that really hurts when I press on it.
And the drums were totally out of calibration.
That's our story, anyway. Worst rendition of Killer Queen ever.
Yeah. Yes, 360, 3.9 million.
Okay.
Up 1.7 million.
Right.
So that's actually, if you divide it by four, that's two sold.
Eight.
Because people get them to buy new ones.
Oh, I see, yeah.
PS3 is on 2.2 million, up 900,000.
Mm-hmm.
And PSP is sold 3.3, and that's up by 500.
So they're all up.
They're all up. Just PS3 isn't up as much as it should be.
Actually, no, of course they're all going to be up. You can't unsell a console.
You can return them.
Yeah, I suppose that would count as a minus.
Yeah. So basically, lots of consoles doing quite well. PS3 not quite doing as well as it could.
Fair enough.
Now, there was a big, big analysis on the PS3,
right,
which had the sales numbers for their big exclusive games.
Ooh.
Now, this is important because the MMOs are the big exclusive games that are coming. Well, they are the exclusive games.
Really? They're not going to be platform... Well, I suppose it depends on the... Well, depends by title, doesn't it?
Yeah, can you really see Sony releasing their MMOs on the Xbox?
No, good point.
Yeah. So, basically, these are the sorts of things... These are the AAA titles on the PS3 that you can look at and say, right, you're probably not going to outsell these with a console launch.
Mm.
Because, yeah, first-person shooter always going to be more popular.
Well, I remember John Smedley talking some months or years ago about MMOs being a prime mover of PS3 units, which I thought was a bit optimistic at the time, but it's possible. People may go and buy one just so they can play Agency or whatever.
I think Smedley would say that.
Well, yeah, you got to talk your product out, but even so, you've obviously got high expectations of MMOs being significant in their business.
If we look, some games are sold shockingly badly. Motorstorm Pacific Rift sold less than 250,000.
Out of a large number of consoles, several million.
This is the larger, because this is the American market.
Oh, gosh, right.
Yeah,
okay.
That's very badly selling, but the first one may have turned a lot of people off.
Fair enough.
In the 250,000 to 500,000 range is the first Motorstorm.
Okay.
Which I never really got on with. I don't know why.
Hmm.
Driving game, yeah. Mm. I usually like them. Ratchet & Clank, Tools of Destruction, brilliant game.
Hmm.
And Heavenly Sword, a game I really liked as well. Although it is Heavenly Swords.
Okay.
And then in the 500,000 to 750,000, you got Resistance Fall to Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
Killzone 2.
Oh, yeah.
Uncharted Drake's Fortune, which is the best version of Tomb Raider ever made. And Gran Turismo 5 Prologue, which I didn't like because it was a bit dry.
Mm. All sort of middling sort of reputation games.
Apart from Uncharted's brilliant.
Well, you don't hear a lot about it, though.
Killzone's the best non-Call of Duty FPS on the PlayStation.
That's quite specific.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't really beat Call of Duty. In the 750 to 1,000K, which would be a million.
Yeah.
Is Little Big Planet.
Uh-huh.
Now, that really didn't sell as well as it should.
It got a lot of PR, though, a lot of banging the drum.
Yeah, lots of it. The Stephen Fry effect alone should have been a couple of million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we being strafed?
We're being strafed.
Angry. Is that the Sony Luftwaffe up there? On a bombing run.
It's a biplane.
Right.
Why are we being strafed by a biplane?
I don't know. Someone tell him the war's over.
Yeah. Anyway. And over a million, the only exclusive to have sold over a million is Resistance Fall of Man, which is a launch title.
That was quite a while ago, yeah.
Yeah. Now,
presumably there are better selling games there, but those aren't the exclusives.
Yeah. By the end of the second month of release, Gears of War 1 had sold 1.8 million.
Yeah.
And in the first month, Gears of War 2 did 1.56 million.
I think there's definitely a cross-platform effect here. This will be where a friend goes around a friend's house, plays a game, really likes that game, has a different console when they get home, and they want to go out and buy the same game and play it on their own console. You know, the fact that they got the wrong or a different console shouldn't get in the way. And
interestingly, Resistance 2 sold 500,000 in the same time that Call of Duty 5, World at War, sold 1.1 million. Hmm. So it could be there. These numbers aren't entirely fair because they're looking at exclusives on Sony, and Sony may be making slightly bad choices with exclusives.
Mm.
But what I think it's saying is, these are the big AAA exclusives. The big AAA MMO exclusives that are coming out
are going to do less well than...
I would expect them to sell less than these, because they're MMOs.
Mm-hmm.
The market is not the same.
And plus, we have no idea really how they're going to approach the traditional monthly subscription concept.
Yeah. And yeah, okay, Free Realms will do brilliantly, because
mm-hmm.
that's really managed to get out of that market. But DC Universe Online? I don't see it selling more than a quarter of a million on the... and the agency. Let's do more than a quarter of a million, going by these numbers.
And a large number of people who would otherwise be playing it, who don't have PS3s and probably won't go out and buy a PS3 just to play.
Yeah, they'll still sell on the PC, sorry. Mm. But when it comes down to it, the point of putting it on the consoles is to bring in a new market.
Mm, which I suppose we don't really know how big that market is going to be.
We don't know how big the market for MMOs on the consoles is, no.
Yeah, yeah.
And it may turn out to be massive, but if it...
Or it may be a complete flop because people are just unused to the entirely different style of gameplay that we're all very used to.
No, I think the agency is going to do reasonably well because it's not actually an MMO.
It seems like... it's starting to sound like a bit of a Guild Wars-y instance, set piece, drop in.
And in fact, looking at it on that one, I think I would rather buy the PS3 version than the PC version.
Hmm.
I think that it looks like it may be stronger.
Will it be a good sofa game?
I think it will.
Hmm.
But yeah, DC Universe, I think, would be a better PC game probably.
Champions,
which is coming to Xbox, of course.
Yeah, again,
coming to Xbox in air quotes.
Well, yeah, I mean, they probably have an easier job making a PC to Xbox port than a PC to PS3 port.
Yeah,
but yeah, we'll have to see. But yeah, in general, exclusivity probably a hindrance rather than a help.
Yeah, it looks like the biggest exclusive that Sony have had so far is Metal Gear Solid, which is 1.1 million, which is respectable-ish, but still a bit low. So I'm a little worried about the console MMO market at the moment.
Well, as yet, we've still to see how it's all going to go.
As yet, we've still got to have anyone actually release something.
Still no one wants to stick their head over the parapet.
Where's the 360 version of Conan? Eh? Mm. Eh? Yeah.
Soon, TM.
Sometime. Okay.
Mm.
We got our British TV update.
Oh, go for it, yes.
They've axed Robin Hood.
No, actually, I didn't really watch that, so I don't care.
I do, I liked it.
To be fair, I did see the occasional one episode. I mean, there was no Maid Marian in it, for a start.
She
there
died.
Was some blonde girl. I mean, who the hell was she supposed to be?
Kate,
right. Robin Hood and Kate.
Yeah.
Yes, I thought I was watching Maid Marian and Merry Men for a minute.
There is a really strong likeness.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all rather confusing, frankly, and at least the wardrobe department had got their act together a bit. They're not all running around in combat trousers and hoodies anymore. There seemed to be a bit more period tailoring going on there. I generally don't approve of the show, so I'm glad it's dead.
Yeah, you see, now I'm worried.
Mm-hmm.
See, Torchwood's back this week.
Ooh.
With an incredibly short run.
They got 5 shows on 5 days, and that's that. Yeah.
Doctor Who got 4 episodes this year.
Yeah. And this is an off year for Doctor Who.
I think that Doctor Who may be about to be hideously cut back.
I don't know. Well, we'll see next year when they're going to do the proper show again, the proper series.
Because if they're BBC are acting Robin Hood, okay, you can discount ITV.
So what do you do instead? You're going to run out of shows. You're just going to end up with what, a test card for like 3 hours of a Saturday night because Ant and Dec are busy that month?
Wipeout's now an hour long.
Oh, God. Wipeout. Worst show I have ever seen.
The Americans have it as well.
Yeah.
They've got their own version.
Oh, jolly. Good. They can share the misery.
Ours is hosted by Richard Hammond from Top Gear.
Who sits on a desk, who doesn't even go out to the big water-filled sports course thing that goes on in the background. He just sits
in
on
Argentina,
a desk in a studio.
Because they have to do it out there for some reason.
So, well, health and safety reasons, I imagine. He just sort of, yeah, you can tell he's totally phoning it in. You know, it's just a terrible show. I'd rather watch The Wall.
Bring on the wall. I don't like watching that because they never have the good, attractive celebrities.
It's great
in the Lycra.
It's great having various commonplace celebrities wearing those god awful silver Lycra jumpsuits and seeing what strange contours their bodies adopt underneath. It's like half of them are robots. She's yeah. seen Jenny Bond, my God. Never seen a person that corrugated before. It's quite traumatic. I'll stop talking now, if you like.
Yeah, please. Okay, finally.
Yes?
Now, this is a super story of the week suggested by you. But it's not silly.
Well, I don't know. I've forgotten what I said, so go for it.
They've optioned the movie rights for Asteroids.
Yeah, yeah, that was it. I looked over your shoulder and saw that. I thought, what? Is that the stupid story of the week? And it is.
No, well, it's in that place because there's no real stupid stories this week.
Yeah, yeah. But it was going to be a tense thrill. Hang on, was this not the one with Bruce Willis and Liv Tyler in?
Exactly. You can make it. This is why it's a stupid story of the week.
Well, not the other one with Ben Affleck in it.
It's the reporting of it. You can do a good story about Asteroids.
There was two of them, and they were both pretty bad. And then there was one in
Deep
the 70s.
Impact wasn't that bad.
Sean Connery, Meteor. Or was it Meteor or Asteroid yeah, Meteor. Or whatever? Meteor, yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. I mean, this is not a new tale. I'm just waiting to see the computer game angle on it all.
Yes.
Turns out the asteroid is this really huge, flat, vector-based piece of rock rather than the usual chunky gas thing.
It could be a really...
Pew, pew, lasers.
It could be a low-budget, low-cost, really tense suspense. They're stuck in an asteroid field and have to get out.
Yeah.
Kind of classic of a film.
And the real message is that people are the strongest currency.
I think... You can make a good film on the rights of Asteroids. It's not a silly story.
Yeah, well, you know, I've yet to see the Transformers movie yet, but I could be proven wrong.
Yes, you were the last person on the planet the other day when there was a bumblebee outside of the supermarket.
I was shocked, I tell you, to realise that there wasn't a Volkswagen Beetle in the films. I thought, there's just something wrong here. I nearly started a campaign there on the spot.
Yeah. Anyway,
I think
the silly story is you.
I am the only loser here.
Okay, then. What have you been playing?
Oh, it's one of those, isn't it? Yes. All right, well it's one of those what we're playing because I've gone and complicated it all up by having what we're playing on 2 weeks. And every
You're
two
not allowed
weeks
to talk about that game.
Not talking about Repels this week. No, that'll be next week. And we'll be talking about next week.
Okay.
So, my other normal gaming, well, there was Guild Wars, the Tuesday New Club. There was PvP as usual. Just knockabout around the Guild Hall. That's all good stuff. It's interesting seeing. I think we get more people come along for that than the PvE weeks, really, which is interesting. Some of the more sort of hands-off members tend to only prefer the PvP weeks, which is fine. You know, we do a bit. That's why we do a bit of everything. And the PvE week, we were doing the big treasure chest trail again.
Oh,
yeah, hitting up the Nightfall treasure boxes. There's 12 of them located in 12 places across the campaign. They get progressively more difficult to get to as you go through. And I find it makes for a really good evening out, actually, because it's about the right length of time. It's divided into a number of quite short tasks, so if someone joins late, they can still join in for most of it, that kind of thing, or people could leave early if they need. And best of all, you get 25 platinum and 12 gold items in the space of one night if you hit all of the boxes. Well, most people do. Anyway, I'm starting to hit the diminishing returns quite severely now on the those. You can every, the more times you visit the box, the less reward you get. Until eventually, It sort of flattens out at a sort of about. I don't know, I got about
box
10
of chocolate.
Well, I got 10 platinum instead of 25, and I got a whole bunch of purple items instead, which aren't quite as good, but I mean, I'm already tricked out for all the loot I'll ever need. It's not really a game about the loot. I end up selling those anyway, so. But it's all good because I'm working on Legendary Skill Hunter, you see. Ooh. Which is my big thing, my long-term game goal at the moment in Guild Wars. That's basically to have gone and captured every single elite skill in the game, which is about 150 of them. And, of course, each signet of capture costs one platinum a go to get a fresh one and is used up when you do the capture. So I need to keep the money coming in to afford my somewhat expensive habit. Doing well, though. I'm about halfway on all three of the skill bars. There's a progress bar for each campaign and the elite skills captured within that campaign. I'm halfway up on each of them, so that's not bad. But then again, I've been at it for about 3-4 years on this character, you know. So pretty much since Nightfall came out, I've been plinking away at it. I'll get perhaps one or two a night, usually on the way out to do something else as we go out to the mission or whatever. I'll go check the guild wiki and find out what elite skills are available in that zone and grab them on the way through. And it really is obsessing about completionism because I think I'll actually use about a tenth of them in the game ever. The rest of them are just, ooh, pretty picture.
So you're basically just doing this for an achievement?
Yes, I suppose it is technically a sort of achievement. You do get a title. One day I hope to see broadcast to the entire game. Vivian Hemlock has achieved the rank of legendary skill hunter, the god, favour of the gods, etc., etc. So I'll take a screenshot when that happens. Everyone will know my name and how awesome I am, and then for about 15 seconds until someone else gets a legendary achievement, and then I'm forgotten instantly. But no, it's something to work towards. It's all good. Let's see, we had City of Heroes. This week we've been playing with the new Task Force.
Ooh.
Yes, the issue 15, the entitled Anniversary, that was out, I think, earlier this week or the week before, and we all patched up and went in there this week, our big hero-based group, me on my ice tanker. The issue is about the fifth column, and which is like this sort of pseudo Nazi fascist evil villain group who come from an alternate dimension where Germany won the war or something like that. I really do need to read up on the background stuff a bit more rather than just run in there.
The text which comes up when you
just run in there and smash people. And he's wearing different outfits a lot of the time, but yeah. No, apparently there's a place called the Axis Earth, which is basically where Germany won the Second World War and the Nazis are all in charge. And they're building portals to come and invade the real world that we're all in. And so there was lots of... there's a task force to go and sort all that out. And the first four missions were fairly standard. It was all just basically go to these different places by boarding the train.
Okay.
Yeah, the mission...
Task brother, hands off.
The mission entrance was actually the mass transit train. There's just a new option at the bottom of the destination list, and you end up in this big instance. So it's a novel use of public transport to get to the mission, which I thoroughly approve of.
Well, it's going to cut down your carbon footprint.
Exactly, yeah. My carbon footprint's quite low now. Yeah, and that was just basically reused large city maps with great big clusters of these uber-mention super soldier villains everywhere, and a bunch of portals that they're opening up, trying to invade through. So basically we just... bounced around these maps, smashing stuff up like we usually do. Ah, good times, good times. I really do enjoy being the tanker in that game. You just run in and smash stuff up. It's not complex. It's good fun. characters at the back desperately trying to heal me, but I don't care. I'm just charging in. The last mission was good though. It's a big underground bunker where the boss, this chap called Reich, I think it's Reichman, something like that. Who's this sort of alternate reality version of Statesman, who's like the big superhero on all the box art for the game. And, quite hard work. Super monster, elite villain type of thing. I have to go in there, and he's in this big room with the big throne at the back, and it's all this big heroic showdown thing. And he's got four other arch-villains all trapped in little force bubbles, and during the fight he periodically releases one of them to help out, and God, that was hard. Took a fair old beating, actually, trying to deal with it. We're sort of trying to keep the main guy pinned down, and we're using these special anti-dimensional super lasers that we'd looted in a previous mission to sort of weaken him as we go. So it's all got a bit Ghostbusters toward the end, actually. Yeah, don't cross the beams, all that. And then suddenly this super villain from one of the other main groups gets let out and joins in the fight, and we have to try and split our forces and all that sort of thing. A little bit of choreography required. It's, the end game boss type of thing going on there. But we prevailed. We did the job. We hardly died nearly at all.
Oh, congratulations.
So, yeah, acceptable losses here and there. So that was good. So, yeah, and I got a whole new badge for that. I think it's a Column Smasher or something is the new title, and a big badge. So that one's done. We managed in less than 2 hours what it took them about 2 months to put together and deploy in a patch, and now we're bored. well, not bored, but back to usual, really. Apparently there is a villain side version as well, but our supervillain group, our circus rejects, are not quite that high yet.
I hear if you go into the... mission creator thing, you can level up really fast.
I think they put a stop to that kind of thing, and we wouldn't use it anyway because it's cheating. So yeah, that was that. Lord of the Rings, it was mostly on catch up this week, wasn't it?
Yes.
In the last 2 weeks, we've been
we've had people missing.
Well, we've had occasional
mainly
people missing
because apparently, if you set your alarm for 8 p.m., you can sleep for it still.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, one of our number overslept for an 8 p.m. appointment, which was quite impressive. But that was okay because we were helping another of our members who'd been away and had to come back catch up with us in our main story plot progression thing. So now the entire team has defeated Skogrim, which is chapter five of book 5, I think. And so we're all ready to be stuck on chapter 8 of book 5 again.
Oh,
volume 1.
I got some bad news.
Yes.
Zenki tweeted during the week that they're planning on doing the rest of book 5 this weekend.
The Brent Darren and Michael Zenki super US Lotro super team there are apparently on the same spot as us now.
They're going to push forward and get past it. So we got to do it on Monday.
We've got to succeed on Monday or commit ritual suicide, I think.
Or we won't
be the only way out.
Because we can't have them pull ahead of us July the 4th weekend.
Oh, wow.
That's just a complete insult.
They'll be throwing tea into the harbour at Ered Luin next year.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah, so looking forward to that on Monday. But... yeah, and also don't forget to bring the sodding Idleharn tokens this time. Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Should we stop moaning about
that? I think I better stop banging on about that over and over again. When I keep getting a lot of comments saying, yeah, just get the tokens. I was like, oh, okay. All right, I will.
Have you done the Summer Festival yet?
Not yet, no. I've not been in since they patched it in. Did that go in this week, did it?
Yeah, that went in on Tuesday, I think.
I might have to have a look over the weekend at some point, see what's all that. I heard you bitching about horse races, though.
Well, they're not horse races, no? They were normal races, and they just seemed to be completely random.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was pie-eating races and stuff, and as far as I could tell, all that happened was I clipped except on one.
Right, okay. So... So to perhaps counter the frustrations of one person who's really good at racing always winning, they decided just do dice rolls instead.
The horse racing was so broken for a while now that they can't put it back in.
I've seen the horse courses, but I've never seen anyone using them. So.
I don't know how you break horse racing.
Don't know. Yeah.
I was quite disappointed by the lack so far of good stuff that I found to win.
The Summer Festival, not so great then?
It's different types of pipeweed and stuff.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. Oh, wow, fantastic.
Yeah, well...
Hobbit. Yeah, good stuff.
Oh, I planted my mushrooms for the Autumn Festival.
Right. I've no idea what you're talking about, but we'll find out in due course.
Anyway,
not quite so impressed with the Summer Festival compared to the previous ones.
Not so far, but I've only really done the Hobbit bit.
Oh, fair enough. We'll see.
It was hot and late.
Yeah. In my own time in Lotro, I've been mostly pottering about in Forachel. Doing a bit of solo questing up there just to keep the levels ticking along. It's an interesting zone, but subject to some really over-the-top weather effects, I find. It's like the first time I went up there, it was literally a 10-foot visibility blizzard. And then the second time I spent any significant time there, it was about 20 yards fog everywhere. I later found out that was the whole world at that time, but it was quite annoying. So I don't think I've actually seen the zone yet, despite having earned about 2 levels there.
Okay.
But look, so quite looking forward to a sunny, clear day up there to see all the icebergs and all the snow and everything. But, just been a bit unlucky with the weather up there, to be honest. Although, I tell you what, in this current heatwave and weather, Forachel's a great zone to be adventuring. I get this weird psychosomatic thing in any ice and snow zone in an MMO. I always feel cold when I'm playing them.
Which is handy, since it's so hot here.
Yeah, exactly. Just the thing, yeah. Quick escape to a virtual snowfield, and psychosomatic effects will take care of the rest. So that's all good. There's been Planetside I've been playing, still. I did a big old rant about cheating.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, that's me going to my blog in a big hissy fit and going, oh my god, hacks, basically, but more eloquently. I don't know. I mean, I don't know about it, to be honest. It's, you doubt yourself, you doubt whether cheating is possible, you doubt if the cheating's happening and being applied to you, but there's still at the back of your mind the, what? No way, you know. And I've been playing Planetside on and off for quite some time, and I do sort of know what can and can't be done, what is and isn't possible based on the rules as I understood them. And, you know, just being sniped whilst it's supposedly invisible when you're stationary and about 400 metres away from the sniper guy, it just, no, it just doesn't happen. So I had a big old hissy fit there. I mean, in general, if there is wide-scale cheating going on there, it's rare enough not to massively impact on your gaming session. I wouldn't warn people off playing the game at all. Perhaps suggest that they might think twice about going for the infiltration suit, because it doesn't quite work as advertised some of the time, for reasons outside of the game developer's control. But there you go. I've been trying all sorts of other different play styles. I've rolled up a... So what I do is I do this inverse Fourth Empire thing. Fourth Empire is basically when you just change what side you're on a moment-to-moment basis to always be on the most popular side or the most winning side. It's an insult. I do the reverse, because it tells you... when you log in, it gives you an Empire need thing. It shows you the percentages of how many players are on what team. So I'll pick an alt which is on the team that has the least people, just to bulk it up a bit, because, you know, you want to try and keep the sides equal. It does mean that my experience of planet side is generally always from a losing perspective, so that can be a bit psychologically damaging.
I put it to you, sir, that you do it, because if you were on the winning side, you'd have no excuse not to have a kill-death ratio the wrong way.
Well, there could be that as well, yeah. It could just be that I'm scared of being rubbish, but or just needing a reason that isn't my own fault, perhaps. Oh, God. So you stop psychologically deconstructing me during my half of the session. Anyway, so yeah, I've been trying flying the Mosquito, which is like their little Apache helicopter gunshipy type thing. I don't know, I still can't get my head around it. I do get some kills, but I do get shot down a lot as well, and I don't know, I just can't quite. I'd never quite been able to deal with the aircraft in that game, and I don't know why. And it's something I feel like I ought to be able to train myself to be able to do. Well, yeah, there is all that, and being aware of yourself. I mean, I think perhaps it's just the speed and scale of it all. I mean, suddenly when you're in an aircraft that can do that kind of speed and that much visibility and that high up, you've got to be aware of a lot more and thinking further out and all that. So I don't know. No, I'm finding that with all of my alts on all teams, I am gravitating back towards sniping again. I seem to have a feel for the bolt driver.
Especially now you've discovered you can fiddle with the Alpha.
Apparently it's very easy to cheat and see cloakers very far away. Yeah, so I don't know. But yeah, so I imagine it'll just be sniping and the repair gun on all of my characters for the remainder of my gameplay there. Do you know they've added so many more battle ranks since I was there last that everyone has everything now?
Well, that's why you don't want all the confusion and stuff to choose.
Well, it goes up to battle rank 40 apparently, and when you get that high, I mean, when the game launched you only had up to 23, but when you get that high you have so many cert points you can literally cert everything, or at least more or less everything. So you don't need to specialise, you don't need to make choices, you don't need to have multi-rolled squads or any of that. Everyone is a super soldier now. But I suppose it's a pragmatic approach when the game in general is quite undersubscribed nowadays. If you can't put together a decent multi-role team, then yes, the few people who are there need to be able to do everything. So, yeah, still picking away at that, still giving it the odd hour here and there. Runes of Magic, not really so much over the last fortnight. I'm still keeping it going because it costs me nothing to do so, you know, which I think is their big marketing strategy. No one ever quits a free-to-play game. And that's pretty much it, really. I've not really been playing any single-player offline stuff. Just too hot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just lying there going...
Yeah, exactly. Logging in for my weekly events, but mostly just, yeah, staring at the space.
What have I been doing then? Well, I played some Lotra.
Okay.
I did a little bit of soloing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, blimey. Extracurricular Lotra.
Well, I decided I need to level a bit.
You need to catch up, yeah. I mean, I'm 46 now, and I think I'm the highest in the group.
I'm only 43.
Bearing in mind some of the group are on their second characters.
Yeah, and also I need to sort out my legendary deed book.
Yeah, I think level 45 seems to be where it all starts to happen for the I'll say end game, you know, prior to the Madding Minds of Moriah. But the 45 to 50 bracket, I think, is where a lot of the bigger, more important stuff starts to begin happening.
So. Yeah, so I ran off a bunch of quests to try and get my level up, and I might do a bit more of that this evening, actually.
Yeah. I recommend Forageal. Good zone. Yeah, so also, Eregion, I think you're probably good for.
I was up in Forageal, actually. Mm-hmm. An awful lot of stuff up there can kill me.
Oh, well, perhaps not Forageal, then.
Yeah, I'm on the cusp of being ready for that.
Back to Trollshaw's, noob.
Yeah, that's all I've really done in there, apart from what we've been doing as a group.
Yeah.
Eve.
Oh, okay. How's that going?
Yes, I've started on my second line of capital ships.
Oh, crikey. Yes. You're into the capital ship stuff, eh?
Yeah, well, you see, there's been lots of talk with the Corp about actually getting a cap fleet together on standby for when we need it.
Cap fleet? Wow. Such heady heights that I can only dream of.
There was a Titan in a battle the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
Crikey.
Somebody sent a Titan to deal with us. It was so cute.
That is a certain affirmation,
really?
Isn't it? Finally, we are someone. Yeah. Did you get Doomsdayed?
No.
No. Oh.
We did get utterly destroyed, though. Soon I'll be able to fly all of the Kaldari and Galente ones that I need.
Right.
And I might do the others.
Definitely the big boys league now, then.
Yeah. It's all part of my wanting to fly every ship, but I might as well make it useful ones.
Yeah, I have a similar sort of goal when I do play Eve, but I draw the line at capitals, generally. It's like everything battleship down, I think, is what I'm aiming at. And possibly not even Tech 2.
I got really lucky on some trading, and so had a billion and a bit to do on skills. So
good
I just
stuff.
Went nuts on the capital ship ones I didn't have yet.
Right, so basically making yourself ready for any future occasion.
Yeah. I might even... No, I'm not going to bother Mothership or Titan. Or the Mothership doesn't need an extra skill. But you get... I'm really not sure about ships where you can't leave them because you can't dock in them.
Yeah, I don't know what you do. You eject and then you dock with the pod? Right.
Yeah, you have to have an alt. Because the ship would just stay in space then.
Yeah.
And people can then steal it.
Oh, no, I suppose you log off while you're in it and it'll go away then, yeah.
Yeah, that's all really done in EVE. It's not been a very big MMO week.
Oh, fair enough.
Apart from playing Jumpgate. But more of that next week.
Yes, you're half of the cheap seats thing.
Single player games, though.
Yeah.
Oh, first off, I was playing Fuel by Codemasters, which is a game which got horrible reviews for reasons I can't quite understand.
Yeah, well, I remember us ridiculing it because it had an enormous amount of...
It deserves to be ridiculed for the enormous play area. It is too big.
Yeah.
But people are complaining that there's nothing to do in it and it's boring.
Is it just basically a whole US state's worth of driving around on the terrain with no real objectives?
There's loads of objectives. There's races and...
Sort of Burnout Paradise kind of thing.
It's sort of Burnout. You can drive between races or you can automatically jump between races.
Okay, yeah.
And you can just select them from a menu. So you can play it just like a normal racing game.
Yeah.
It's quite like MotorStorm in the fact that you've got different classes of vehicles. You've got your bikes, trikes, trucks, cars, stuff. But I've actually been getting quite obsessed with the going around with the collecty stuff. There's liveries you can collect and there's vistas, which is places you go which have a view.
Oh, yeah, exploration.
Yeah, so I've been zooming around on a bike all over the place, collecting extra barrels of fuel, which is your currency, which is scattered around.
It's all a bit post-apocalyptic, is it?
It's a post-apocalyptic game. It's probably the best post-apocalyptic thing for different genres you can get. At one point, I felt like I was in The Great Escape on my bike going over the hills looking for a way to get over a fence. There's other races which are you on fast cars on roads trying to chase down people that feel very Mad Max.
Brilliant.
And even better, there are bits that feel like you're on the speeder bikes from Return of the Jedi when you're running on a motorbike through the forest really fast.
It does sound really good, actually, yeah.
Yeah, I just think people didn't understand it. And a lot of the things the reviews said were bad about it were stuff people also said about Burnout at the start, which is, you know, you can never find your way around. Well, you don't need to, or so you keep crashing.
It's meant to be more of a free-roaming thing, then.
Yeah.
No, okay.
And I actually quite like it.
Hmm.
And everyone who says it's not very good without having played it is wrong.
Fair enough.
What else have I played? There's also... been going mad on Supreme Commander again, but
you're not finished that yet.
No,
it's all right, nor have I.
It's a little hard when you're doing 10-hour missions.
The very last map, where I think generally you're all on the same map from each campaign. You're on the island of Hawaii, and there's this big super laser thing that you got to try and either protect or destroy or whatever. And that is a bugger. It really is.
Yeah, I've been getting horrible achievements for having made stupid amounts of resources.
All on the first go.
Yeah.
Rather than as a career.
Yeah. What else? Overlord 2.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Like Overlord 1, but fixing a lot of the little issues.
I finally finished Overlord 1 this week, actually. Yes. I got to the boss fight I was stuck on, and basically it is just about footwork, and the end boss throws up a big dome shield thing that's different colours, and you've got to throw the right minions at it, and it's just a bit of a choreographical exercise, and I got there in the end, so it's good.
Yes, I like Overlord 2. It's got a brilliant sense of humour.
Mm-hmm.
The writing's good.
Yeah.
Which I should hope so, because it's Rihanna Pratchett.
Mm.
And it's fun.
Excellent.
Which is the key.
Is that coming out for the PC as well?
It's out for the PC.
Got it for 360 there, is it?
It was on Steam when I was looking last night, I think.
I might have to partake of that.
Yes. What other games got released? There was something else. Can't remember. Hang on, let me just check.
your blog will tell you.
Yes.
Xbox 360's blog. It does more work for this show than you do.
I know. Yeah, it does even more than you, because I've seen what the Twitter question was. How little work have you done for this show? You even outsourced the Twitter question
so
to them.
We'll get to that in a moment.
Or listeners.
Go on then, what are you playing?
Oh, Saints Row 2.
Saints Row 2. You've
been playing through that with a friend?
Yeah.
Doing the co-op stuff?
Oh, okay.
Because the entire game...
Hanging with your homies?
Hanging with my homies.
Excellent.
We're so white, it's painful. And also, oh, I played a bit of Riddick, but not very much.
Okay. What about Console Club?
Console Club, we've been doing
for the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
Burnout again.
Yeah. Oh, we've hit the major. Oh, we have more than 8 people.
Oh, problem. That's always difficult.
I need to think what to do about this. I may just have to declare we will be playing this game.
You've got three ways through this. You can find a game where there's a bigger player cap, so which means don't play Burnout. You can tell someone to sit it out. That's always a bit tricky and not generally satisfying. Or you can run two different sessions at once, five and a four, and then work it from there. But yeah, again, defeats the point a bit. It's difficult. There's no easy solution.
I might just start playing different games. We'll play something different 1 week, and some people just won't be able to join in. Shame.
Well, that'll sort your number problem out, I guess, yeah.
Actually, I could just make this one award week. Annoying, really. Too many nice people in
the world. People understand. Yeah, it's the limitations of the game.
It might just have to be a first come, first served with me not having to worry about
that. Yeah, perhaps rotation as well. You know, you play a match or two and then swap over and so on. Just make sure everyone gets a go at some point, you know, that'd be right.
But we need to go back.
It's usually how we do it in Guild Wars.
We need to go back and play some more Gears of War because we need to finish Horde mode. We got stuck, but we're not playing this weekend because they've made it more difficult for 4th of July.
That's unsporting.
The level we're stuck on, every 10th level, we're stuck on the level 40. Uh-huh. And because we haven't managed to have all 5 people there to do it, they've added more tickers, which are the explodey things.
Oh, the bugs. Yeah. That ran in. Oh, God.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I quite like meleeing them, so. Run over, hit them, they
hit them with the chainsaw, they explode, yes.
No, you hit them with your shotgun and they run away and explode. Just sort of punch them. Yeah. Gets me killed more often than not.
Yeah, yeah. Do not taunt the explodey bug.
I've also been playing X3 Terran Conflict.
Yeah, you were doing a bit of that before I got here.
Yes, well, this is research.
Okie dokie.
I have a plan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what the plan is.
This is a plan with a capital P in the Cylon sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've been playing lots of old space type games, and I thought I will play this because, you know, it's the classic of its type.
Yeah,
buggy, doesn't run very well, very slow gameplay, but strangely compelling.
Yeah, it's that sort of free roaming explorer-y type of thing.
God, it's got horrible system requirements. you look at what some games can do and think, how come you just can't deal with it in a space game? Also, the UI sucks. The voice acting is painfully bad.
Oh, I remember that from the second one. I've got X2, and I was all potter with that now and then. And yeah, Super Marionation. Oh, terrible.
Oh, it doesn't even do the Super Marionation anymore. It's just got everyone seems to be Dutch who's doing the voice,
right?
And Dutch as a language has a very different vocal pattern, which is very Dutch.
Fair enough. And quite distinctive.
And certain lines in this are completely destroyed by lack of delivery because it just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perhaps slightly better localization then, I suppose. I don't know. But
It could have done with just better quality voice actors.
Yeah, so the sort of thing you're likely to keep going with?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's fair enough.
It's a game which doesn't get started until hour 200.
Yeah, I'm afraid of redoing my hard disk ever because I have an X2 save game on it that's got like 400 hours worth into it.
Yeah. That's it for the game I played. It's been a quiet week.
Yeah.
It has. Shall we move on?
I blame the heat.
I blame the heat. It's just too hot to do anything. Mm. It's too hot in here.
Hang in there, we're almost through.
Shall we do the Twitter question?
Yes, let's.
Our new hashtag equipped Twitter question.
Well, yeah, it sort of worked and sort of didn't.
It worked fine.
All right, well, let's.
You can scroll down to the start and that'll be fine.
Ah, look. I might have to number them, otherwise we'll end up bringing in the hashtag from the previous.
Fine.
Twitter's too complicated. All right, then.
You're too simple for Twitter.
Oh, there's possibly that as well. Podcast question. Nothing particular burning a hole in my mind this week. Anything you want to ask us?
Oh, I'd just like to say, why did you copy me on your Twitter picture?
Well, I saw how cool your little tweet picture thing was, and I thought I'd better grab something awesome as well.
Okay.
So, let's see then.
No, just do those ones. You don't have to worry about that.
Okay. Yes, we're going to ignore you unless you use the podcast cues hashtag this time, I think. So, where do babies come from? Ninja Crash wants to know. I think you better handle this one. Crafting, is it? Right, yes. Good. Okay, what sort of resources are we looking for there?
DNA, it's only done in galaxies.
Right, gotcha. Oh, yeah, the bio handler profession.
Yeah.
Yes. Shatler, what would you both say dream setting for an MMO is? Mine would be probably be 40k, if stroke when done right. Ah, it's the old, where would we like to have see our MMOs?
That's a good question, actually, because most good settings, I think, have been done already.
Well, you've got your two basic staples, haven't you? Your fantasy and your sci-fi. And the sci-fi's sort of fantasy, but with lasers, generally. Yeah. It's all very similar. I think I'd like to see the height of the Victorian era. Not steampunk, actual Victorian.
Okay.
Yeah, where basically people just stand around in drawing rooms in very stiffly starched clothing and trying not to make social faux pas for XP.
I think I would quite like to have a post-apocalyptic one that was done well.
Well, we might see a few of those on the way. Fallen Earth, etc. Earthrise and something else.
Depending on whose NDO's been written that week, I'm not entirely convinced.
Well, we'll see, yeah. There are attempts underway. And there's a couple post-apocalyptic. Well, you've got Neocron as well.
Yeah, well, that's going to be played at some stage.
Hopefully, I think that's on our cheap seats list.
It is, yes.
For you, certainly. Yeah. Anyway, I've already played it. See, Ninja Crash again. Why did the staff in game jump on me as soon as I walk in the store? Let me browse, damn it!
It's because their parents showed them no love.
Yeah, no, it's because their family members are being held hostage in a back room, and unless they achieve certain targets of sales, bad things will happen.
It's why the back room has that keypad on its
hand. Yeah, that's it. Bevis wants to know, when you say bring on the trumpets, how many trumpets do you actually expect? The answer is 8. And then he goes on to also ask, what do we have to get you to do to actually buy a 360? I think you need to make the average week 4 days longer than it is. And possibly move Console Club from a Tuesday.
Yeah.
As I have prior commitments. Kirith Kodachi, what was the first computer console game you stayed up playing all night?
Sensible question, yay.
Ah, here we go. I can't remember exactly, but I'm going to guess at turn-based strategy.
I think mine was Civilization.
I think it could have been the same here, actually. Yeah, Civilization, or a game very much like it. It's very much the just one more go, you know? That my strategy is starting to reach fruition, and you look up and you think, oh, well, now it's daylight out the window. I might as well not bother going to sleep.
Okay, a slight change in the question. What was the last game you played that you did that?
Oh, that
and when was it?
That was Planet Side about 2 weeks ago.
Mine was Supreme Commander last weekend.
I still do it, yeah. You look up, you see the dawn's light, and you think, oh, bollocks.
Yeah.
And then you think, well, if I go to bed now, I'm not going to get up until like 6 p.m. and then my body clock will go all over the place. And next thing you know, you're missing 8 p.m. appointments for a regular Lord of the Rings week.
I know.
Tonight, you know?
Tragic.
Yeah. You go feral. Okay. We'll go to Shatler there. How do you cope with tank anxiety? Any tips for getting past it? I don't know if he's taking the piss, but I think I shall treat this question in the series.
I should do mine first. I never play a tank.
You never play a tank? That's one way to deal with the problem. Yep. I think basically just give up worrying about it. How I learned to love the shield, you know, and stop worrying. You just go in there, wade in there, and then you blame the healer when you die.
Yes.
Yes. Remember, tanks, it's never your fault. It's always the healer.
Yeah.
But yeah, make sure you've got decent gear, obviously. More than any other class, you need to make sure you've got the best armour and shields, etc., that money can buy. Don't be stingy on the auction house. Make sure the rest of the team is behind you and lets you go in first. That always helps. And yeah, just try and taunt as many things as you can, keep them on you for as long as you can, and if the DPS people open up too harshly and things start to peel off, well, that's their fault. They need to not hit it all so hard. Remember, a good tank, it's never their fault.
You just told our entire group off.
No, this is a theoretical group in a game I don't play.
Okay.
Yes. We've got Vacaris. What did you have for tea last night? I had lobster thermidor with aubergines with a nice Chianti to go with it. I mean, red wine with shellfish, quite a gamble, I know, but I'm happy here. And prior to report, no ill effects. About yourself?
I had a spicy meat a pizza.
Actually, I'm not sure if I remembered to have tea last night. I might have been gaming too hard. Don't know. You know, one of those forget-to-eat moments. Mikey, new follower here to that. Mikey Dreadlocks, what's the best way to spend 15 minutes?
Patching.
Yeah, asleep.
Oh, asleep, that'd be brilliant.
I don't know, 15 minutes in a hotly contested basin planetside is quite an experience. I don't know about best way to spend
I'd jump into Burnout, actually.
Burnout's a good way to spend 15 minutes, yeah. I don't have many games I can actually play for 15 minutes alone, just on, you know, knowing I'm going off to do something else. 15 minutes is also half of a comedy programme on iPlayer.
Yep.
So that's quite a good way to spend that time. Let's see, Welsh Troll, podcast question. Can free-to-play games win over free-to-play game client must be bought games?
Free-to-play, I think you mean.
RTM features in both. Can box sales make the difference? So I suppose we're functionally talking about Guild Wars versus Runes of Magic business models there.
Yeah.
In neither case do you pay a subscription, but one you do pay quite a bit up front to get started, and the other is item shops.
I think both work.
Yeah. Well, but Guild Wars certainly is a success, although tellingly no other game does their model that I know of. Perhaps there are some out that I've not heard of. But
I don't think people have a problem with buying boxes.
Well, I think you're always going to be buying a box with a normal computer game. I think that's the paradigm they've gone with. That's the model they've used, is of that of a standard normal computer game that you play offline.
I'm surprised that more people haven't done it.
So in a way, they've discounted or thought not worthy of charging their online component.
Yeah.
Runes of Magic, etc., games where it's all free but you pay for lots of dinky items on the way up. Again, I've got no problem with those at all, because I can take or leave the stuff they're offering generally. I mean, finding myself in a difficult, hard place, I'd rather just grumble about it on a blog than pay money to make it easier. You know, I'll have this strange self-flagellatory Puritan thing going on where it's obviously meant to be this hard and I'm the person at fault here. Yeah, so I will literally just throw myself over and over and over an impossible thing and hate it rather than go to an item shop and just buy the XP potion or whatever. Let's see. Harry Hull, which shamefully uncool game do you secretly enjoy the most? Tell us your guilty pleasures. Ooh, I must admit to... well, until quite recently, I was actually a reasonably involved and invested member of the Second Life community. Largely as a graphical chat room for a bunch of friends I'd met who aren't really MMO gamers, or at least weren't until I started corrupting them. But I always did enjoy the Second Life. You know, furries, cybersex, porn. But there's a lot that goes on in there that's nothing to do with those things, and I always did like their little building tools. But I burnt out of it fairly recently because it always felt accusatory. This is entirely me, but I'd go in there and I'd see all this stuff everyone else had made and all this stuff they're all selling and thinking, God, I should be able to make all that. Why haven't I made all that? And basically every waking moment in there became an accusation of laziness. So that's probably a psychological trauma on my account, but it felt like the world was just demanding of me all the time that I create stuff, make stuff, and I couldn't be bothered in the end.
You're strange.
I am strange. What about you then, smartass? What's your guilty pleasure?
By definition, no game that I play can be a guilty pleasure, because it must be good.
I'm so not letting you have that. Oh, well. Fair enough, then. You'll have to ask that. Broken tweet deck.
Bottom right of the...
It's a Mac. Help. Help! I've lost tweet.
Can't believe you.
I'm experiencing some technical difficulties here. Where's the pointer gone? It goes off the screen.
Yeah, oh yeah. By the way, I've plugged the
TV. You've got a dual monitor set up.
The TV's a dual monitor.
How am I expected to work like this? Okay, Phoenix Defire. How do you cope when your MMO is closed down?
Well, you'd be the expert on this.
Well, they tend to go down after I've left, which makes life difficult. I don't know. This is tricky. You've invested awfully, presumably a lot of time and effort and into the world and the community. I think check message boards, find out where everyone else is going, whatever everyone else is doing. You can recreate the community in some other setting. Solidarity.
I think that you accept that you were playing the wrong game because it wasn't popular and never mention it again.
No, that's terribly cynical. No, yeah, you just look around, I think, ask friends for opinions. I mean, generally, when a game is about to go down, you'll start to see message board threads in the community about where you're going, and people will be chipping up with suggestions of games that are, if not the same, or then at least slightly similar. You restart somewhere new. I mean, game closures, although they are drastic and they're quite gutting when they do happen, they are mercifully quite rare. So there'll be other games out there that are broadly similar or have enough close aspects for you to be able to start again. But yeah, I mean, if it happens to you two or three times a row in the same month, then I think you need to worry, yeah. Perhaps go outside, find something different to do. Melmothulu, given the chance, which children's TV series would you make into an MMO? Note, Dungeons and Dragons is a cheap cop-out. Go on, then you can go with this one.
Biker Grove.
Biker Grove. Is that going to be class-based gameplay or skill-based?
It's going to be a hybrid model.
Okay.
Free-to-play.
PvP?
PvP, yes.
Free-for-all PvP?
Free-for-all PvP.
Biker Grove. Oh, my God. I saw a lot of spin-off from that particular question with people talking about Bagpuss, and I think I'd thoroughly approve of that. That would be a good MMO. I'd go with the Loremaster class, you know, the little wooden bird on the top there with the glasses. Let's see, what other children's TV series is... In the Night Garden, for the sheer absolute inexplicability of it. I don't know, perhaps you do have to be three to understand it. My niece loves it, but I have no idea what's going on with it. Let's see, Tiger Ears, would you like some toast?
Yes.
No.
Actually, I would really like toast out now.
Right, we'll be back in a minute.
I'm quite hungry.
Let's see, oh, we got Jet Ross there. Now there's a large choice of MMOs. Is F2P the way forward, free
yes.
to play? I hate to say yes, but I think I'd have to, really. I think increasingly the subscription model is going to be a more and more difficult thing to justify. And the thing is, the more free-to-play games out there of a good enough quality that there are, then the more people are going to start questioning why the ones that are left still feel they need to charge a monthly fee.
I think D&D... moving over to free-to-play is the big thing.
I think that was a big milestone, certainly, yeah. And I think Runes of Magic as well. I mean, we're used to seeing some really crappy free-to-play stuff that's just really sort of by the numbers and the bare minimum necessary to create a market for item shop products. But Runes of Magic that I'm playing through, it seems... I'm having trouble differentiating it from Warcraft on a functional level. Certainly Warcraft's a bit more polished, a bit more expansive, but from what I've seen of Runes of Magic... Yeah, why? I start to wonder why do A-list MMOs need to charge a subscription anymore? And of course, Guild Wars all along has been, you know, the fly in the ointment for the subscription model. Yeah. I think free to play may be the way forward, but ultimately, these companies need to pay their bills. They need to make money, and they need to do that in some fashion. And if it turns out that the free to play model just means that a larger proportion of us are just going to be there scoffing up our sleeves and not paying them anything at all. And gaming for free, then the whole thing will fall apart. Can they just live off the, what is it, estimated 1% that actually pay lots of money to item shops? Time will tell. I think it's an interesting time for the subscription and the free-to-play models. We'll see. I think possibly we are on the dawn of a different kind of MMO era. Gosh, that was all rather serious.
It was.
All right, and let's see. Max Castillo. Finally gave Eve a shot after all the talk on the show. Decided it wasn't for me, but got out of comfort zone. Thanks. Oh. Well, you used the podcast question tag,
yeah.
So there we go. No question there, but...
It is for you.
if you don't like Eve, you're wrong, I think, is the understanding.
Join a better corp.
Yeah.
That's the usual one, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's always a better corp which everyone is having fun in.
Eve is one of those strange ones that you'll either love or hate, and very few people are indifferent about.
I know.
It's strange. But there's nothing wrong with deciding you don't like it, but it's good that you've tried it. Yeah, I think more people should try more MMOs. That's largely what the whole cheap seats thing we're doing is all about as well.
Yeah.
Zonk there. What's your favourite F2P game? Have you not given Runes of Magic or Neosteam a go yet? I have given Runes of Magic a go, and I think I probably would call it my... If you're not counting Guild Wars, which many people don't, I would say Runes of Magic probably my favourite free-to-play game, but I haven't really played that many yet. So, but then certainly this cheap seats thing will open our horizons a bit there. Quite a few of the items in that list are free-to-play games. So we'll see perhaps something there that will stick. Not tried Neosteam yet. I don't know if it's... Has it out? I don't know. Out over here?
Don't ask me.
No idea. I'll have a look. About you? You played much free-to-play?
Not really.
No, okay. Okay, as Mikey Dreadlocks again there. How do you escape from the goblin dungeon in The Hobbit for the Spectrum?
Always. We don't do spoilers.
And can't remember. Dr. Torag, if you both had to star on a BBC MMO show on telly, which celebrity would you like to front it?
That's a stupid
question.
We lose
points for Jonathan Ross, apparently.
That's a silly question. It's Charlie Brooker.
Well, I think we're...
Kate Humble.
Are we not celebrities yet?
Yeah, we are. Kate Humble.
Oh, yeah, go on then.
Yeah, we have Kate Humble.
I'll go with Graham Norton and John Barrowman because it's just far too much effort to not have them on your show, I think. It's can't be bothered to warn them off. Let's see. Astara? What embarrassingly lame and uncool games do you love but hate to admit liking? I like Harry Potter. So, yeah, a bit like the previous question. I'm going to make you answer this time. I'm not letting you have the because I play it's cool defence, Frankie.
There are no uncool computer games.
You're just not embarrassed about anything you've ever played.
I'm not.
Fair enough. They're all great. Okay, Harry Hull wants to know how many cats fit in a Porsche 911. Okay, we'll be back after these messages.
It depends if you mind the seats getting a bit scratched.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh, look, and there you go. Harry Hull's got the answer to our other question.
No spoilers.
Oh, all right, okay, fair enough. You can check on the Twitter feed there if you're stuck on The Hobbit for the Spectrum.
If you're still stuck on The Hobbit for the Spectrum.
You probably need to get out of it. Give up. It's not going to happen. Yeah. Faintlock. What MMO achievements are you guys most proud of or memories most fond of, if you prefer to answer that one? This is the stock answer, yeah. Isn't it? Go on then. You want to tell me about your Star Wars Galaxy
stuff? No, I'm bored of that. Becoming an internet celebrity.
Becoming an internet celebrity, uh-huh. And I'm most proud of, I don't know, I'm somewhat vaguely ashamed of everything I've ever done in MMO, to be honest, so. Yeah. I could have been spending my life so much more productively. Yeah, it shouldn't be such a disappointment to my parents then. Oh god, here we go again. Let's moving on. Eric's Cho. Who is still buying WoW boxes? I want to know this as well.
I think I've worked it out.
Yeah, you got a theory.
But there's obviously a massive amount of churn on the game. People stopping buying it. Stopping playing it and going away. And new people coming in.
Or existing players losing their discs and box.
No. But I reckon there's an awful lot of people getting old enough to be allowed to play MMOs and jumping in. And I reckon it's those and the people who are just discovering it who are doing it.
So it's just churn.
It's just churn. Mm. And they have a large churn,
but a relatively static number.
The PC charts, the number of sales on the average PC game per week is quite low, so they're always at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the last couple on the other side.
Yeah, these are people who didn't use the tag. Let's see. Anti-theist. Oh, new follower there. You can tell because they still got that, like, O_O picture.
Yeah.
So I might have a no_O picture rule for future shows. Find a picture. What, in your opinions, is the best IP that is yet to be made into an MMO?
Doctor Who.
Airwolf.
Airwolf.
Look at him. He's like a kid in a sweet shop.
That'd be brilliant.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Oh, there's Hero of the West. Poco question to Van. That's me. So why are we always on opposite teams in PvP?
He hates you.
Is it because I am your mortal enemy in PvP?
He says you smell.
It's yes. He is my nemesis. He's a damn good monk, and I'm a mesmer. Now, the mesmer is largely about hexes and conditions. Well, hexes mostly. And if left unmolested, I can really cause everyone a lot of trouble. Mesmers are generally best at dealing with enemy spellcasters, and of course the most high-priority enemy spellcaster is the monk, which coincidentally happens to be Hero of the West there. So yeah, there'll be the main PvP going on, and there'll be me and him desperately trying to get a spell to stick to the other over on the side. And meanwhile, he's still managing to heal his entire team, which is damned annoying. So yes, it is because you are my nemesis. Let's see. Kutsnik 2000. How many hours a week on average everyone plays MMO? Well, I don't know about everyone. I don't know if people want to chip in on Twitter and suggest the number for themselves. I think I play, I don't know, three or four hours a night most weeknights.
I think I play about,
I'm getting on for 20 to 30.
I'd say about 8 a week at the moment.
Yeah. So clearly I'm pulling the weight on this show, yeah. Then, yes.
And I think that's the last one.
Right. Good stuff. So thank you again for all of you there. Do try and use the podcast question hashtag thing because it makes us easier to find your question. Apologise if we did miss anyone there. So what did you learn this week?
I learned that the BBC hates Robin Hood.
And I learned more about you and me than I'm comfortable knowing thanks to all these Twitter questions.
Yeah, scary, isn't it?
See you next time.
Goodbye.